McConnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Given how incredibly bad this proposed amendment is, I can't blame my friend the Majority Leader for wanting to talk about things like the Koch brothers or what I may have said over a quarter of a century ago. I'm going to confine my remarks to what's before us, and I want to start by thanking Senator Grassley for an absolutely outstanding observation about what the First Amendment was supposed to be about. And at the very core of it, of course, was political speech. Americans from all walks of life understand how extraordinarily special the First Amendment is. Like the founders, they know that the free exchange of ideas and the ability to criticize their government are necessary for our democracy to survive. Benjamin Franklin noted that, quote, "Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness," as he put it, "the freeness of speech." The First Amendment is the constitutional guarantee of that freedom, and it has never, never been amended, ever. Attempts to weaken the First Amendment, such as the proposal before this committee, should therefore pass the highest scrutiny. Senate Joint Resolution 19 falls far, far short of that high bar. It would empower incumbent politicians in Congress and in the states to write the rules on who gets to speak and who doesn't. And the American people should be concerned, and many are already, that those in power would use this extraordinary authority to suppress speech that is critical of them, as Senator Grassley pointed out. I understand that no politician likes to be criticized, and some of us are criticized more often than the rest of us. But the recourse to being criticized is not to shut up your fellow citizens, which, believe me, this is designed to do, to give us the power to pick winners and losers in the political discussion in this country. That's what this amendment's all about. It's to defend your ideas. The solution to this is to defend your ideas, more ably in the political marketplace. To paraphrase Justice Holmes, or simply to come up with better ideas. The First Amendment is purposely neutral when it comes to speech. It respects the right of every person to be heard without fear or favor, whether or not their views happen to be popular with the government at any given moment. The First Amendment is also unequivocal. It provides that, quote, Congress shall make no law, abridging the freedom of speech. The First Amendment is about empowering the people, not the government. The proposed amendment has it exactly backwards. It says that Congress and the states can pass whatever law they want, abridging political speech, the speech that is at the very core of the First Amendment. If incumbent politicians were in charge of political speech, a majority could design the rules to benefit itself and diminish its opponents. And when roles reverse, you could expect a new majority would try to disadvantage the other half of the country, and on it would go. You can see why this is terrible policy. You can also see how this is at odds with the First Amendment. That's why the last time a proposal like this was considered, in 2001, we had a vote on this. It was defeated on a bipartisan basis. Now, I get the impression all the Democrats now have walked away from the First Amendment, but back then, Senator Kennedy and Senator Feingold and several other Democratic colleagues voted against it. A similar proposal was likewise defeated in 1997. Our colleagues who voted against those proposals were right, and I respectfully submit that they would be wrong now to support the latest proposal to weaken the First Amendment. This is especially clear when one compares the language of the amendments. Senate Joint Resolution 4, back in the 107th Congress, would have empowered the government to set, quote, reasonable limits, end quote, whatever that is, on political speech. The same was true of Senate Resolution 18 in the 105th Congress. As bad as those proposals were, and they were awful, they at least limited the government's power to setting reasonable limits on speech. again, whatever that is. By contrast, the amendment we're discussing today would drop that pretense altogether. It would give the government complete control over the political speech of its citizens, allowing it to set unreasonable limits on their political speech, including banning it outright. Reminiscent of the Alien and Sedition Acts, as Senator Grassley pointed out. Not only would SJRES 19 allow the government to favor certain speakers over others, it would guarantee such preferential treatment. It contains a provision not found in prior proposals, which expressly provides that Congress cannot, quote, abridge the freedom of the press, end quote. This is really great if you're a corporation that owns a newspaper. This is terrific news for you. You get your speech, but nobody else does. The media wins, and everybody else loses. Now, everyone on this committee knows this proposal is never going to pass Congress. This is a political exercise, and that's all it is. The goal here is to stir up one party's political base so they'll show up in November, and is to do it by complaining loudly about certain Americans exercising their free speech and association rights while being perfectly happy that other Americans, those who agree with the sponsors of this amendment, are doing the same thing. But the political nature of this exercise should not obscure how shockingly bad this proposal is. This is embarrassingly bad to be advocating for the first time in our history that we amend the First Amendment to restrict the rights of citizens to speak. When it comes to free speech, we shouldn't substitute the incumbent protection desires of politicians for the protection the Constitution guarantees to all Americans. I can remember a time when, on a bipartisan basis, we all agreed to that, or at least most of us did. It's too bad we can't agree on it now. So I would urge the committee to reject this dangerous proposal to dramatically weaken one of our most precious freedoms. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity to be here and would love to stay for the rest of your hearing, but I'll talk to you later.
I have a feeling you'll be able to overcome your sorrow not being able to be here, but I know you, and to quote the statement most often heard among the 100 senators, of course I'll read your statement on the record afterward. Thank you.